This week on Rough Cut, cocaine hijinks, crazy dreams, and Hitler's plans to destroy Butlins.
On the show tonight, there's me, Lawrence Jones, from Dorset.
Me, John Mizen, from Bristol.
Me, George Gregory, from Southampton.
So, who wants to start with their first thing? I think we'll start with you, Mizen.
Yeah. Fine.
Me? No, I think Mizen should go first this week.
Just whatever, just say it.
Well, my first thing is...
I knew it was going to be shit.
Basically, you know the Olympics, that thing.
Oh yeah, I heard of that.
That thing with the sports.
Yeah.
So, they have that Olympic, the torch bit where they have a torch go all through the places and then they light the fire.
Oh yeah, like the sort of fun run of the torch. Yeah.
That was actually invented by the Nazis.
No way.
Really?
For what purpose, Mizen? For what purpose?
To point out how great this Aryan runners were, pretty much.
You want to know something else that was invented by the Nazis? Butlins.
What? No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
You'd be talking shit. Mizen, maybe you should Snopes it.
I'm going to Snopes. I'm on it. Don't worry. I'm already on the Snopes.
Oh, he's on it. He beat you to it, Mizen. How embarrassing that is for you, really. It's your own catchphrase.
It would be embarrassing if anyone cared.
Oh, hang on, sorry, I've got this completely wrong. I'm at the risk of slander. The Nazis based their thing off Butlins, not the other way around.
that is quite a vital difference there.
Yes.
So, what, Lawrence, what's the actual story?
According to the Daily Mail, or the Mirror even, the Nazis planned Butlin-style holiday camps. And Hitler himself was planning to emulate and supersede Butlins, with an aim to make the Nazi Party into the largest holiday company in the world.
The Nazi Party will have the best Butlins. Your Butlins are inferior.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so apologies to anyone who works at Butlins. Butlins was not based on a Nazi camp, it's the other way around.
But the Nazis looked at your camp and said, hell yes.
Okay, then, George, what's your thing?
My thing. It's this film that we've been talking about a little bit. It's this film called The Room. For those of you who don't know, you can search for a few little scenes online or whatever, but The Room is this film. It's one of those films, the scene is so bad it's good. It's so kind of funny because of like the awful acting and stuff like this. There's some bits that are just so bad that you think, come on, like a whole crew of people must notice that it's bad. So some people think that it was all just a kind of like ploy to get like the kind of cult status and the money and stuff like this.
I certainly do.
Yeah, like you think that. But I got some friends in Southampton who think like, nah, he's just a crazy, crazy man. This Tommy Wiseau is the writer-director and just thinks it's good.
I literally think, like, I've seen terrible movies like Manos, Hands of Fate and Maniac, and I definitely see that there's something there that I don't see in The Room. I see an intention in the previous films to try and be good, but they fail.
Imagine, have you seen it?
I see no effort.
No. You haven't seen it?
No.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa! Sorry, that's a line from it.
Oh, hey, Mark.
Oh, hi, doggy. See, like, you could go on and on about these quotes. There's just so many. It's like a book of quotes. It's like Anchorman. Just like quote after quote that you could just like say to your friends. There should be t-shirts of this. Why would I see
your
t-shirt?
How's your sex life?
It's confidential. No, I can't tell you. It's confidential. So anyway, how's your sex life?
But interesting fact, when I was studying abroad in Canada, Tommy Wiseau refused to let us view the film without paying extortionate amounts of money to rent it out.
See, that's the thing. But like, he's a genius. He's a financial genius is what he is.
That film is still running in cinemas.
If you could get a DVD of it, why didn't your like university class just agree to like hang out at a friend's house maybe on a Thursday and watch a DVD, and then
technically we could have
screwed Tommy Wiz up?
Yeah,
we could have done that, but you know it's not cricket. It's not cricket.
Nothing in Canada is cricket.
That's right.
That's true.
Well, I don't know. It's just back to the question of like. Is he trying to do it to get the money and the status, or is he trying to do it just because he thinks it's an actually amazing film?
If you want to compare a really bad film to a bad film that might be being bad for the sake of it, look at Birdemic.
Oh, you guys, you've shown me a few clips of that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's right.
The scene where they're like, we gotta get out of this house. Coat hangers! And they all go in a group, don't they? With the coat hangers. And they hold on to the coat hangers like they're, I don't know, like to protect them from the birds. And the birds fuck them up anyway. Oh.
It's more about the birds are these massive CGI flapping things.
Lawrence, do a thing! Do a fucking backflip!
My thing is, it's a theme park. Well, I should say a theme. It is a part of a theme park that is like a themed area that is based on a popular franchise. Can anyone guess what it might be?
Now, you see, Mizen, I have no idea what this could be.
I couldn't think at all.
No.
If only there was some sort of clue or previous indication, that would help. But
yeah, previous indication. That would have been. Like spot on clues that would have.
Pirates
I'm
the
sorry
Caribbean?
To perplex you. It's not Pirates of the Caribbean.
Backdoor Brigade parts 1-7.
It is not that.
It's always that.
Yeah. If you look around that park long enough, I'm sure you'll find it.
Yeah.
It is actually the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, a themed area to be built at the Universal Parks and Resorts.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Sorry, did you say the Jizzarding Wang of Harry Penis?
No, I did not.
He didn't, Myers, and I'll tell you what he did said. He said Hot Short School of Clickcraft and Jizzardry is what he said. Didn't you, Lawrence? Yeah, didn't you?
Yeah.
We've got
some
tape, Lawrence. We can send it to the FBI.
So, the three rides at the moment are Dragon Challenge, which is a roller coaster. It is the only chasing inverted roller coaster in the world, whatever that means. The next one is called Flight of the Hippogriff. Which is another roller coaster, and the backstory is that the Hogwarts Care of Magical Creatures, Hagrid, is teaching wizards to fly on hippogriffs by using a wicker replica of the creature. I don't know why he would do that. And the last one is Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey, which is a walk around the castle looking at props and characters from the Harry Potter series, including a speech from Dumbledore and directions from Harry, Hermione and Ron before boarding a magical bench.
Speech from Dumbledore. What, don't you mean Dumbledore's ghost?
Or his painting. There's no ghost of Dumbledore.
Or his painting.
He has a painting.
And you're taking around the castle encountering a horde of Dementors, a Whomping Willow, and a Quidditch match.
Frankly, if when you encounter the horde of Dementors, everyone doesn't instantly feel incredibly depressed, suicidal, and like their life is worthless, I am very angry with this ride.
Yeah,
it's not.
You might notice that something's up. It might kind of ruin a few dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
At least the staff should be like, I'm so happy. Ah, oh my God, I want to kill myself. At least the staff should
like
be
London
passed.
Dungeon. Fucking seven.
That's cool.
Or something.
Right, yeah, I went on that at Thought Park. I went on the Saw Maze. Have you guys been on the Saw Maze? It sounds just like that. You kind of go into different rooms and it's all dark and stuff, and they got actors there who are like victims of saw traps and stuff. I went with our mate Ben from back home, and he was at the front of the queue, so of course he had to like lead us all, because we each had our hands on each other's shoulders and just like go through the dark so you can't see where you're going and stuff, just like the odd little ray of light coming through. And at the very end there was this guy who was just kind of like one of the actors waiting there with a big chain across his neck and stuff, and he was just like kind of looking at Ben like ugh. And Ben just kind of stood there because he didn't know where to go because the door wasn't lit up, and he just kind of stood there for like 10 seconds, and then Ben goes, oh, there's a door here. And the guy's like, yeah, you're clever, aren't you, mate? And then Ben goes, well, yeah, I'm Oxford. Oh, superiority.
Reminds me of, I saw this stand-up once, and he was talking about when he went to the London Dungeon with his mate, and they were both a bit slightly drunk, and they were both feeling a bit crazy. And there's this habit of the actors in the London Dungeon to like suddenly jump out at you and stuff, because it's meant to be kind of scary.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what they did at the Saw.
Yeah, and anyway... And he said, and the guy said, the stand-up's friend says, right, the next one who does that, I'm going to bloody punch him, right? And so they did that. And he said, the stand-up says, okay, and I want to point out, there'd been about 6 or 7 of these already, so we were getting tired of it. And until this point, every single one of them was a man. And it turns out they full-on punched this woman in the face. Like, because he didn't know it was a woman, she just jumped out.
Jesus.
At him.
What
yeah,
an idiot.
And like the blood everywhere, and they were asked to leave. And normally, like this guy that he was with is always kind of like defensive and like stuff. And they both immediately in this situation, they both immediately went, yeah, okay, we'll go. We passed the mark. They were, like, escorted out through, like, a side fire exit and everything. Didn't even go through, like... Oh, no, wait, and then they couldn't get out the side fire exit, so they then had to walk back past all the people doing the tour and all the staff. Like, as we had to watch them all...
I can imagine it being, like, a kind of walk of shame thing where all the people in the torturous things are just looking at them with their arms crossed, shaking their heads, yeah. Like,
You scum.
Yeah.
You scum. Maison? Maison?
What?
Maison? Maison?
Pylon.
Why does you speak Maison?
Does you have a thing?
Yeah, so this was an article I saw. This is my news section, essentially. It's this kid in America, when the local TV weatherman visited their school, all the kids, as is not uncommon in such situations, were like told to write a thank you note for the weatherman. And this one kid got like did his ridiculous thank you. Which include essentially it starts off that he says the kid says when he becomes the supreme ultra lord of the universe I will not make you a slave, you will live in my 200 story castle where unicorn servants will feed you donuts off their horns.
Whoa.
Yeah, and he goes on
that's,
to say
that is gratitude.
He goes on to describe the weatherman as being more awesome than a monkey wearing a tuxedo made out of bacon, riding a cyborg unicorn with a lightsaber for the horn, on the tip of a space shuttle closing in on Mars, whilst engulfed in flames. The kid then added, "And in case you didn't know, that's pretty dang sweet."
Yeah, see, I couldn't get it. I thought it couldn't get any more awesome. Then he added the flames, yeah, so I was like, "Oh my lord!" Maybe shark or two would make that.
What was this kid watching? Like. That's pretty incredible.
He's got something.
What was this kid smoking on?
Complete opposite to a kid that I saw in an American news report the other day about the blizzards that had stopped the airplanes.
I like turtles.
No, worse than that. This American kid was just like, "Well, it's a disgrace." He was like 5. "It's a disgrace. I should be in Orlando getting a tan." And then and just turned over and showed off his like pasty white back. It was quite incredible.
Look at this back. Look at this back. There should be at least a deep root brown.
So, shall I do one of my things next?
Do it. Do it.
Okay. Now, we're all big fans of the Tekken series of video games, and we spent many wasted hours playing it in the media room back at school.
Oh, have we?
Just because I played it didn't mean I liked it.
Okay.
No comment.
And Capcom have just released their latest game, Street Fighter Cross Tekken. And you guys play Street Fighter?
No.
It's great.
I'd
say it's better than... You abhor it. Why?
I just don't like it.
Any particular reason? Because
I love it. I don't like fighting games. Secondly, I don't like the way Street Fighter looks or plays.
So if I was, say, to organise a event in which we played the new game on the air and uploaded it, you guys would not be up for that.
No. I'll do it, Lawrence. I'm your friend.
Even if I wasn't involved, if you did that, I would find you.
And until they release Tekken vs Street Fighter, which is going to have the Tekken engine, but with Street Fighter characters, that should be interesting.
Is that a real thing you just quoted?
No, literally, they're doing two. Street Fighter Cross Tekken and Tekken Cross Street Fighter. There's been a bit of controversy with this game because of the downloadable content. Do you guys ever use DLC?
Are they naked? They're naked.
No. It's more the fact that the DLC
is
actually... Is it racist?
Is there a racist character in the DLC?
No. The DLC is actually on the disc, but it's locked, so you actually have to pay to unlock it, which has... Yeah. Annoyed
some
people.
Isn't that effectively the same thing as any DLC, though?
Yeah, but this is kind of a slap in the face.
Yeah.
It's like saying, we deliberately could have given you this for free. Whereas, like, with other things, you could say, we didn't, you know, we hadn't thought of this idea when we published the game, or it wouldn't fit on the disc. So, you know, you could say that, or you could say, like, it's not technically, like, part of the main game, so we didn't think it deserved to be on the disc. But with this, you're basically saying...
It's the equivalent of Chris Tarrant on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. He's like, we want to give you that, but we don't want to give you that, etc.
Kind of.
Sort of,
also,
but no.
Yeah, definitely not. It's actually nothing like that at all.
Chris Tarrant's behind this, okay? I want to get my feelings out. It's blame the Tarrant. Okay.
Blame the Town.
Oh, dear.
You should get that, get that on a shirt.
But are there any sort of times where you guys have felt particularly ripped off in a situation? Where you've sort of come out of something and thought, shit, what's wrong with me?
Well, I mean, if we're still on the topic of video games ripping us off. When I bought Far Cry Instincts Predator, it said that it was a sandbox free roaming game, and it just straight up wasn't. It was literally just a straight line corridor shooter.
Motherfuckers.
I think it's because like the PC game was, but the Xbox 360 port wasn't.
Oh, really?
And I think they just didn't bother to change the cover.
Final Fantasy 13, for me, that was a big disappointment, because, I mean, I love Final Fantasy games, but this one was just... they got rid of all the free roaming stuff and just did missions. It was horrible.
I bought the E.T. game, and suddenly I find out I had to dig it up from some desert. I was like, oh,
well, the Craigslist ad didn't mention that part.
Oh, dear. I once spent £30 on a little gadget to clean your discs so you could play them again. Like, I had a few GameCube games that were scratched, and I sort of thought, well, I can pay £30 and I can get all these games working again. Just didn't do anything, just made them worse. Never got to play Ocarina of Time properly again for ages. Wasn't good.
Wow. And you got through that?
With therapy, yes. So, should we move on to another thing?
Yeah, Gregory.
They are quickly dwindling.
Okay, so I got to give out one of my things, just for free, have I? So I just give out things, I collect them up, I spend 8, yeah, fine.
Yeah.
This is a story that I found myself, with no one helping me, so shut the fuck up, Lawrence. That House, the season finale of the TV show House, will be filmed entirely with a... just a kind of cheap-ass Canon 5D Mark II. It's quite cool, because if anybody who isn't kind of like a technical-minded person, like us... No, I'm not very technical-minded. But still, this Canon 5D Mark II is quite a cheap camera. I mean, you got the Canon 600D, haven't you, Lawrence?
Yeah, I bought it a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, very proud of it.
Yeah, you said about £600. And the Canon 5Ds, they got to be no more than about £1,200.
Yeah,
I really think that this... this like House, one of the biggest TV shows. I mean, they've had like 8 or 9 seasons or something, haven't they?
Yeah.
This final episode is going to be filmed with this £1,200 camera that like a lot of students use. To be honest, I mean, we're always being told to buy a Canon, and because they give the kind of cinematic look and stuff, and it's just pretty cool that, you know, it happens. The big people use this stuff, so
I'm
cool.
Closer. I am closer to Gregory House than I was yesterday. Now I bought that camera.
Yeah.
So close, yet so far.
So close.
Get a fucking room already.
No. So, what was the reason behind them using a DSLR for a major A-listing TV show, George?
Well, in this article, I can't see the reason.
Well, according to my friend, it's because they wanted to try and get the camera in different spaces that they couldn't fit a big camera.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense. I was going to say, I could think of a few reasons. Firstly, like... I don't know, they could have a young production team and they're using this kind of stuff, or maybe they're trying to be cheap, or maybe there's something like that.
We're in a recession.
The agility of it, yeah
I think so. But just think, this sort of means that in 10 years time we could have television quality films being made on by amateurs on YouTube, or we could just have more cat videos but in better quality.
Yeah, I'm up for the second, you know, the latter of that, really.
Yeah,
I prefer
same.
That We all like a bit of high quality pussy. Lawrence, why are you Lawrence, why would... you always go there, and like you just like... You don't just go there, you pitch a tent and make a campfire, and you just got to stay there overnight, haven't you?
Pitch a tent?
Jesus.
Yep.
Giggity. Anyway, so yeah, there's this person in America smuggling a few kilos of cocaine. Unfortunately, she was arrested part because the police had a tip-off and they noticed her car pull in because the license plate said smuggler, and she was even staying at, I kid you not, the Smuggler's Inn somewhere in Washington State.
Dear Lord.
Yeah.
They just picked her up on that and then they found her.
They had an anonymous tip that the smuggling was going to happen around, and then they noticed the car pulling in. and they saw the license plate, which said smuggler with 1G, to give her some credit.
Smuggler?
Yeah, so it wasn't that obvious.
Sounds like a Pokemon.
Yeah, probably is. Well, then they arrested her, and at the smuggler's inn, they arrested her, got her to call the two people she was going to meet, and arrested them as well.
Meisen, think of all the poor people deprived of cocaine now.
Some people are just trying to get that cocaine to feed their families. Cocaine.
Yeah.
Exactly. My crack baby needs
cocaine
crack.
Cocaine sandwiches and shit.
Okie dokes. My last thing is a little fella called Nostradamus. I presume all you've heard of him.
I've heard of him.
You've heard
I will hear of
him. A French apothecary and a reputed seer who published collections of prophecies have since become famous worldwide. And he is best known for his book, Les Prophéties.
And for his wicked, wicked parties.
Oh, yeah. He philosophized all over the place.
Ain't no party like a Nostradamus party. I tell you what I'm prophesizing, guys. I'm prophesizing next Saturday, my place, all the bitches, all the alcohol you can think of. It's going to be there. It's going to be tight, yo.
It's going down.
That's an official quote, March the 3rd, 1856.
So Nostradamus has been linked to predicting the French Revolution, Napoleon, Hitler, both the world wars, the destruction of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the Apollo moon landings, the death of Princess Diana, Challenger disaster, the events of 9/11, and that's it.
Lawrence, how accurate is that? Come on.
It's basically really easy to predict those, to say those were predictions of, like, because no one's actually saying this is going to happen in the future because of Nostradamus.
Yeah.
Says. The point is, Nostradamus just said a bunch of vague crap, and then people just attribute whatever they want to it.
I think Lawrence is talking shit.
Have you had like a deja vu moment where you've sort of dreamed or sort of you've seen into the future and then you've had that happen to you?
Yeah, I said I'm gonna be awesome and then I was awesome.
Well, that's a given. I mean, you are pretty awesome. I used to have this recurring dream where I'd be in the petrol station and my mum, I think I was like 8 when I had this dream, and then my mum would get out of the car and I'd still be in the car, and then it would drive away and drive into a petrol tank and explode, killing me as well. But that hasn't happened
yet.
That's hilarious. Sounds like the beginning of an episode of Casualty.
I know, but it hasn't happened yet. I've not been in the car and just had it randomly drive away without any explanation, with me still in it, hit a petrol tank and explode. But it could happen, and if that does happen to me, I've just predicted my own death.
It'll be just like Final Destination, except it's like at least 12 years
I was
late.
Screwed from the start.
Yeah.
Final Destination, if they didn't escape, that's just an accident. That's just casualty.
Yeah, that's just an accident.
It's also like a short...
That's just security footage.
Yeah.
That's not a film. That's
it's
just
like 5 minutes of some kids getting on a plane and then it explodes. I don't so much imagine things are going to happen and then they do, but I do have deja vu all the time. Like, probably twice a week, I'll see something and I'm like, I swear I've been in this situation before, in like a kind of vague memory sense as opposed to a specific
one. Hey, Meisen, they might be listening, okay, but you might be in the Matrix.
If we are in the Matrix, then they're obviously listening.
Mr. Anderson.
That is a terrible impression.
You sound like a Muppet. I mean, what's the craziest... I tell you what, I had a weird dream last week. And I hope this comes true. It was pretty good. I was topless in the university halls, and there were a bunch of cheerleaders being chased by a giant hornet, which I then beat with my shirt.
Wow, that is really weird.
I know.
There's got to be some kind of sexual analysis of that.
Is your shirt your son?
Sort of, and no. Another weird dream the day after, in which... it was basically a giant rat in my room, and it was like, it had the face of Frank the Bunny from Donnie Darko, which was the creepiest thing ever, and I woke up in a cold sweat.
What is up with these giant animals in your dreams?
I don't know. I mean, I've never liked hornets, so I understand that as a nightmare, but at the same time, I was beating the hornet to death, so it was almost like I conquered the nightmare. What's the craziest dream you ever had, George?
Oh my.
Is it appropriate for air?
Yes.
And by air, I mean society.
I don't know if it's the strangest dream, because I swear there's been others, but I just can't remember them. But I went into this hotel, right? I think it was somewhere in Los Angeles. and I went to the top floor, and I was close to the fire escape, and this guy just stole this awesome looking lemon cake. And I was like, that's it. This is going down. So I chased him down the fire escape and beat the crap out of him.
Yeah. Reasonable, reasonable, understandable.
Well, that was the end.
Over a piece of baking.
It was a good cake. And also, I think I was meant to beat the crap out of him anyway, like it was like some kind of purpose. But the cake just kind of like, I really wanted that cake anyway, so it was just... Then there was this other dream where I went into this... it was basically, it was a big greenhouse, but it was also kind of a garden centre. So they were selling the flowers and plants and that, and they were all on racks. And I was walking around, and like the staff just didn't like me. I just knew that. And then they, like, all the flowers and plants, I think, got taken away. And then the staff all tried to kill me, so I had to fight them off. And I did.
Okay, who's doing Plonker?
That's me.
Okay, give us your Plonker.
Plonker of the week. Wow. Police say a central Pennsylvania man thanked and tried to high-five the officer who flagged him down for driving without his lights, only to then be arrested on a drunken driving charge. The local paper reports that Gerald Decker was driving early on February 19th when a police officer noticed that Decker's car didn't have his lights on and flagged him down. Officer Adam Bonsall says Decker told him, "Thanks, buddy," and tries to high-five him. Bonsall told him, "That's not how it works," and gave Decker field sobriety tests. Police say Decker's blood alcohol content was 2.5 times the legal limit for drivers.
Ooh,
the charges
Jesus.
Were recently mailed to Decker.
I must say, our plonkers
what
of the week have been...
Our
plonkers of the week have been dominated by the Americans. We had no non-American ones so far.
It's also because they have the most...
What
about
my
flagrant news.
Yeah, that's true. They have the most crazy news around. Like, what's your worst drunken experience?
Oh, I went to a Mexican pie and I had loads of tequila. And it was the first and last time, let me tell you. And I don't know, I was up, I had a sombrero on, I was up against the sink, pretty much chundering. I felt what I thought was a stool behind me, I was like, oh, thank fuck, a stool. But it was a bin, and I just like completely leant back in the bin and it collapsed and I fell on the floor.
I'm imagining
I was,
that.
I chundered in the toilet for the rest of the night and yeah, it was nasty.
I was at a Halloween party and I decided to jump really high in the air and land on someone. A small woman. That was not fun.
That's a crime. That's an official.
Who then
like,
fell to
assault.
The floor. It was a drunk thing. It was fine. Who then fell to the floor and I sort of ran off. And another time was just my 19th where I just bought a lot of vodka and spent the rest of the day chundering. Fun.
What were that?
None of those stories. None of the stories we just said are that crazy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I broke a bin.
I jumped on someone. This is where Meisen comes out with his drunken 52 nights of hedonism in which he screwed multiple prostitutes, killed police officers, and won $1,000 on Las Vegas.
I mean, it would be terrible, wouldn't it, if I started regaining the stories and then there was some kind of sound/editing issue and you just kind of cut right into the middle. And so the car was on fire and careened off the highway. I jumped out at the last minute. The prostitute, I had no idea. And so I took out my Glock and I just started firing at random, mainly because
Meisen, what happened to the Catholic girl?
Tell us the part about the dinosaur again. I want to hear that again.
Oh, you guys. I'll tell you all about it next Christmas.
Should we go on to my guess the person?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. You've got 15 questions, gentlemen. Let's see if you can crack my person.
Is it fictional?
Yes. 14.
Is it a man?
No, 13.
Assuming that it's human.
And who could it be?
We've got fictional woman. Right. Is it from a film?
Yes, there have been a film adaptation.
So it's not the main thing, but that doesn't count as a question.
Wait, what? So I have to give you... that. What?
So a film isn't their main thing? It's not mainly a film character?
No, you've got 12 left.
Right.
So it's a woman... She's fictional.
Appeared in film, but it's not a film character, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Video game?
No.
11. TV?
No. 10. Oh, actually, she's been in TV. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there have been TV adaptations.
Mm.
10. If I got Banana Man, you can get this.
Comic book?
Sorry?
Comic book?
No. It's a book.
Right, it's a book.
Man, I don't know books.
Yeah. Book from the last 50 years?
No.
Right, so
Man, I'm not going to know this.
Is it Jane Austen?
No.
Dr. Jekyll?
No.
Oh, it's a woman.
I've lost track, Carl. I think we're on 7 questions? Yeah, 7.
Just trying to think of any other books with relatively well-known female characters that are older than 50 years. Shakespeare?
No. 6.
I suppose that's not books.
You're on the right lines, but you're not in the right century.
Wow, with which one? With Jane Austen or with Shakespeare?
With Shakespeare.
Right. Right, I don't know any other authors of that time, I don't think.
I think Dickens?
Yes.
Love, Mise and
Miss Havisham?
Should we go for it?
Yes, you got it.
Bam.
What?
I just got the answer. You suck, Gregory. You suck! Hang on, wait, is this a team sport? Well done, we won!
Yay!
It was indeed Miss Havisham of Charles Dickens's Great Expectations.
The only female character he ever wrote.
In 10,000 years.
Read a book.
Yeah.
Read a book. Put that bloody PlayStation controller down.
Educate yourself, bitch!
George's film quote.
I'm excited to hear what this is. I'm sure it'll be a devastating challenge to both of our wits and memories.
See, I would hope so.
I've excelled at this before.
Mm.
Okay. Now, with this, we don't have to say it in the same way that it's said in the quote, do we? It's just the words that matters.
If you deliberately mislead us, that wouldn't be very helpful.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to try and mislead you. I'm just going to say it in a completely neutral way.
I'd also like to point out that because there's no like limit on questions or anything, there's no way you can actually necessarily win this.
Yeah,
someone say go.
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 Stick around.
Stick around.
Stick around.
Predator.
Oh, he's got it.
What was it?
Stick around.
That didn't sound like Schwarzenegger at all. That sounded like the same guy you were mocking Lawrence with earlier. Oh, stick around, would you? Like your weird old man voice you do.
Stick around.
You with your news, always giving us the news.
What film was this?
Predator.
Who gave it to us?
Predator. Yeah, there's a really strange bit at the beginning of Predator. Well, not strange, but at the beginning of Predator, like the first half an hour, really normal action movie. Like that.
Yeah.
They storm the rebel base. And they deliver a bunch of cheesy lines. And then the rest of the movie is like nothing like that. There's like more or less no... I mean, there's lines that are cheesily delivered, but there's no cheesy action lines. You know, there's suddenly everyone's kind of quite worried. The action is actually fairly minimal after that point.
And there's this one line when they're destroying all these rebels.
Yeah.
When Arnold Schwarzenegger throws a knife.
A machete, a full-on machete.
He chucks a machete and it impales the man on a wooden post. And he just, Arnold Schwarzenegger looks at him and goes, stick around.
And I think that's all we've got time for. From Dorset, it's been me, Lawrence Jones.
George Gregory from Southampton.
Me, your mind, Bristol.
And I hope to see you next week on the show.
I hope you don't turn up.